Rodgers lands in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this gets pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this preview edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. I am your host, Ross Uglum, publisher of the Bison Report over at 24/7 Sports. And we've got a code green edition of the podcast ready to rock. They finally did it. That's really the only news we're going to cover because it's the only thing that matters this week. I've been pushing for this bad boy since 2014. Since the first time they asked the whole crowd to wear green, I said, well, we've got that time. I don't even think they had the green helmets, but we've got green pants and green jerseys. What are we waiting for with the green out? And Nathan Bjuralt, my guy, he made up some excuse about when they order the pants and when they order the shirts and they fade and they need them to be the same green. I just think Coach Entz was the man to do it. That's what I think. I'm juiced up. They look sick. The video was awesome. I'm borderline thinking about wearing my green Packers sweatpants to put on with the green Bison Report hoodie that has become somewhat famous. I'm considering it. I don't have green shoes though, so we're not going to be able to rock it all the way. I'm just so excited for the code green game. And I'm going to bring on right now former multiple-time national champion and my number one guy for football analysis, Trevor Gebhardt. Trev, how are we living?
We're living large down in the South, baby. Things are good. Got a shutout in softball tonight, so nice. I'm feeling pretty good about myself, you know?
Need to make that a weekly segment. How did Trev's softball team do? I want to talk to you a little bit about what this does for a program. I know winning never gets old. I understand that. But there is a kind of a sense of monotony about the NDSU program or, more of the same. Or at least it definitely gets that way from the fan base. You know, win by a whole bunch, maybe lose one game a year, go to Frisco, win the title, rinse, repeat. Unbelievably, you know, unprecedented, not normal, but reality. And I think things like this kind of shake that up a little bit. Were you at North Dakota State when they introduced the gold jerseys?
Yeah, so that actually was my freshman year. I think when they did that reveal, there was some big announcement. The players, we had no idea what was going on. And even we were tuned in just as much as anybody that has no idea what's going on inside the program. And all of a sudden we see this video of old 40 Mr. Diesel, Tyler Roll, wearing a gold jersey that we were going to debut, maybe it was the home opener in 2011. So we were pretty juiced about that because we understood it was very traditional, very Notre Dame, Georgia Southernish, where you just kind of wore your traditional green shirts, yellow pants, yellow helmet. And so that was pretty cool. And then the year after I was done, they brought out the green helmet. So I'm still pretty bitter about that.
they're clean.
And Zach Vraw makes sure to remind me very often that he got to wear those. So his broken collarbones were worth something because he got an extra ring and a green helmet out of the deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was that kind of what was that like the first time running out of the tunnel and kind of did that generate excitement during the week? I mean, were you guys obviously, you mentioned you think it was probably in the season opener, so I'd guess you were pretty juiced up already, but were you guys pretty amped? I mean, this had been maybe the first time ever. I'd have to go back, and Ryan Peralta, our guy, is probably the guy for this, but you're right. I mean, gold pants, back in the day, the gold pants were the only ones I had. So gold pants, white jerseys, gold pants, green jerseys. Then as time kind of went on, they switched to the green pants on the road to look, maybe look a little bit less like the Packers. But yeah, this gold jersey thing was historic for sure.
I mean, it adds a sense of newness, freshness. I don't think either of those are words, but I think, you know, during the week, you don't really think about it. You're worried about the preparation. You're worried about your film study. Obviously, you have classes in between there, and you're just trying to get to Saturday. And then when that comes, and you're doing something that's never been done before in the program, it kind of crosses your mind. You think it's pretty cool, and then after that, it's you don't even think about it during the game. So, you know, I don't think the players themselves think about it quite like the fans do because you get to see it the whole game. But as a player, there is a sense of this is pretty cool at some point within there. I think that's fair to say.
Did you get a chance to see the mock-up and to see the video with the green on green on green?
Yeah, I liked the teaser because you had Ents talk about Code Green, the history of it, why it's important. And they never really kind of like you can tell what it is, but it's not like you could really get a full real grasp. And I like the way that that was done. So nice job by that video department there to put that together. I personally want them to go all whites. I think that would be absolutely fantastic.
You know, you go all white, you get the Missouri State treatment. Missouri State's going to get the Missouri State treatment this weekend. And, of course, that would call for the development of white pants, which they haven't had in a long time, if ever. I don't know. But, there was a schedule that came out as well. A schedule graphic earlier in the year that had, I think, a defensive end in green on green on green. But that's also not like a full reveal, as it's kind of a side profile. So it's tough to get a good grasp on that. I think Saturday will definitely be a day where guys are trying to get in early and tweet out the first pictures of these bad boys. But you're right. It is kind of a fan service thing and even a service for uniform junkies like myself that you know, kind of get into that stuff. And, you know, I'd say I'm weird, but you know what? A lot of people get juiced up about uniform changes and alternates, and it definitely helps in recruiting. I mean, that's no joke. Guys like to look cool. Guys like to wear different stuff. It's, you know, you're trying to attract 16, 17, 18 year old kids to a program. This kind of stuff is a bigger deal than I think maybe even people realize. Speaking of big deals, we've got number 42 on the show here. We've got Jabril Cox, Buck Buchanan Award, potential winner or candidate. And I think for the last two seasons, frankly, he's been the best defensive player in FCS football and I'd have to take a look a little bit more because my draft rankings are or my overall talent rankings are very fluid at this time, are not super locked in because I just don't have time to watch all the college football. But I got to tell you guys, Jabril is one of the best 5, 6, 8 linebackers in the whole country, regardless of division. This kid is that freaking good. And we've got a little interview with number 42 for you guys right now. Here with Bison junior linebacker Jabril Cox. Jabril, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
How much has this season been different for you? You're missing two guys that you played a lot of football with. You're playing next to two new guys, Jackson and Merck, and even James Kayser's getting a little bit of work in at linebacker. Have you had to kind of transition into more of a leadership type of role?
Yeah, it's basically in the linebacker room, it's mostly a collective leadership type of role. Jackson Hanke, he's a very smart guy, along with Merck. So just together, we just all three bring our leadership together to help out the rest of the room, which is pretty young for us.
Do you feel like this team is, and I don't know what kind of expectations you had for it, but do you feel like this team is exceeding expectations? Because you look at fantastic players that graduated a season ago, Easton Stick, Darius Shepherd, Rob Grimsley, and the list, I mean, honestly, can go on and on. And in the terms of, like, you know, margin of victory or I mean, you guys are winning games still and winning by a lot.
Yeah, well, of course, if you look on paper, you'll see that It was like we have to get over a hump this year with the amount of people that graduated and the new faces. But this year has been kind of a surprise for a lot of people. But as a team, we knew what we had in the offseason, and we knew what we were working towards. And it's not a shock to everybody within the program.
So did that kind of stuff ever make it to the bulletin board, or is that outside distractions that you guys don't make sense? I mean, national guys picking you second or third in the country, or even sometimes you'd see prior to the season, oh, they'll be a two-loss team, maybe a three-loss team. Does that ever make it into the mind?
Yeah, we always hear about it. We use it as fuel. We know there's always going to be naysayers and doubters, but if we just all stick together and just believe as a whole, then whatever people on the outside say doesn't really matter.
How about playing with your brother, playing with Jasir, who has, kind of looked like he was coming up on a bigger role and then gets knocked out with an injury and is working his way back. You've stayed relatively healthy during your career. What's his journey been like?
Yeah, this year has kind of been up and down with the injury, of course, but he's been working his way up. I just can't wait to be able to really fully get a couple snaps with him and see how he works in with the game and the game speed and everything, but just overall, he's been paying attention in meeting rooms and just getting bigger and stronger in the weight room.
Is he kind of behind Merck, or does he play behind you? Where is he at positionally?
Yeah, he's been getting Sam reps behind me and Jackson Brown, so he's just been rotating in that.
Okay. The staff moved you around a lot in the spring. I wanted to teach you the will position, get you involved in the box, but it seems you're back to your more familiar spot as sort of a slot defender, is that Sam against spread looks. Did you learn a lot from moving around positionally, or are you kind of best in that in space?
Yeah, I understand the will position fully. That's just in case if it's needed, anybody else goes down, or unfortunately if that happens. But just knowing the will position, it makes the Sam position a lot more easier and more comfortable to know where your fits are and what the other guy's doing.
How much do you think that it does? I'm going to ask you to talk about yourself a little bit here. How much do you think it does for your team to be able to play base and have you cover slot receivers and run with guys that are 50 pounds lighter than you?
Yeah, it means a lot where we don't have to substitute personnel and maybe get a penalty if we get the wrong personnel in. We get the same base personnel in and just stick to what we know best and just keep things rolling.
I noted a play online this past week in my film study of you showing, that you were kind of going to be a slot defender, and then at the last second, boom, you blitz and you're creating quarterback pressure. You're creating basically, not on your own, but I mean, you're creating an incompletion. Is that instinctual? Is that trained? The late shows, because it's something that was mentioned after the game in the press conference, that you guys want to present one picture, and then right before the snap, boom, it's another picture.
Yeah, it was a big emphasis in holding our looks, even showing the blitzes last second, because when quarterbacks do a clap, snap count,
yep,
it's very hard to time and judge when the blitzes, so just hold it as long as possible and just make the reads.
So when you are holding, I mean, when is it go time? Like I said, is that an instinct? Is that something that you're picking up on, maybe nonverbal cues from the quarterback, like, all right, it looks like he's going to clap?
Yeah, it's a lot of instincts, but we got a couple reads that the center, he would bring his head up whenever he's ready to snap the ball. So that was one key within the game.
You guys are facing a Missouri State team this week, and you're 40-point favorites. I think part of that is earned. You guys are very good, and they've struggled this season. But what are the coaches kind of doing this week to keep you guys completely locked in? Because there have been opponents that had no business winning in Fargo that have won before.
Right, yeah. They're just keeping us humble and letting us know that this next week we got to go 1-0. Prepare like every other week, like we prepare versus UNI and UC Davis. So we can't take any opponent lightly, because we know everybody's going to give us their best shot because we're NDSU.
What do your goals look like for the rest of the season?
It's just to continue to make plays, make bigger plays, make more of an impact on defense, and just congratulate my teammates on whenever they make theirs.
And what can, I mean, where can this defense get to? I mean, what do you think the big points of emphasis? Because I think early in the season, there's some missed tackles. That seems to be cleaned up. Then it was, all right, a couple of coverage busts. You didn't see that as much this week, especially in the second half. What are the little things you guys are trying to improve on?
Yeah, we can, on the turnover margin, I know there's a whole bunch of, I know in the back half, a whole bunch of drop picks. I mean, incomplete passes that could have been picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, just making those and limiting the big plays. I know a couple of times they've had a couple hole shots and a couple deep runs that we could have prevented. So just making sure we clean those things up.
All right, finish this sentence, then I'll let you go. North Dakota State accomplishes their goals this season if
everyone communicates and pays attention to detail.
We want to thank the North Dakota State Sports Information Department for making Jabril available to us. We know, you know, it's not easy to line up these star players for one-on-one interviews, and they've been doing it week in and week out for Bison Report, and we really, really appreciate that. That's, you know, you don't get that at every program. I can absolutely guarantee you that. On to Missouri State. We're probably going to take a little bit different tack than you guys are used to. This is not going to be your, you know, normal X's and O's deal because, frankly, there just isn't call for that. You know, you're talking about a game that's now outside of 40 points as far as the spread. This is not something where if you go into the film, you can find advantages that Missouri State doesn't, you know, that they have over North Dakota State. They don't exist. They, you know, they don't have matchups. The tailback's not a matchup issue. The receivers aren't a matchup issue. Even Peyton Huslig isn't really a matchup issue. If North Dakota State doesn't win the game, it's because something terrible happened and they played really bad. So, Trev, I want to kind of go back in time, and we've done this a little bit before, and I think even maybe did it. What is this week like? But How do you stay focused when you're favored? Because it's not just the Valley games where you guys got, but you know the College Game Day games, you were massive favorites. A lot of the season openers that weren't at FBS stadiums, you were massive favorites. You guys probably aren't paying attention when you're playing, certainly to the point spread, but you know when you're supposed to smoke someone.
Yeah, it's one of those deals where I like to call these culture games. These are the type of games that define you as a program because no matter who you're lined up against and where you're playing, it's a faceless opponent and you don't care where and when it's happening. You just want to win the game because that's your job. And I think that's why NDSU has certainly had a level of success over the course of the years. I mean, certainly you got to win the big ones, the playoffs, the rivalries, national championships, so on and so forth. But you get these little games where, quite frankly, you look back, you're like, man, that didn't really do anything for us. It wasn't really value added. Nobody really chalks that up as a turning point in the season. It's just kind of another week to add to the win column. Well, those are still weeks that you have to improve. If you're not improving as a football team, you're going backwards. And there are other teams that are getting better throughout each week in the country. And if you're not doing that, you have the potential to get beat the following week or even that week. So that's why I call them culture games. They're very pivotal on the development of a team and a season, even though that specific win might not be a defining moment for a season. It can certainly derail you, though. So staying focused on the task at hand is certainly probably the most important thing because – you've still got to play the game and you still have to win the game.
For sure. And you're right. And I think that is something that I want to talk about. And it's actually what I want to talk about next is this a week that the guys that are, you know, on the two line and on the three line, are they, can you tell in practice, are they amped? I mean, guys that understand and not necessarily, you know, like Zeb Nolan, who is the backup quarterback, but even guys down the line, like a Cole Jacob, who's really only in on 22 personnel, or maybe the third string tackle, guys that haven't had a chance to play big snaps so far, but you know, potentially in a game where if it gets out of hand, we'll see the field, and you know, maybe their parents will be there, and it'll be the first time they see him make a tackle, or catch a pass, or run the ball, or throw a block. I mean, people sometimes forget that this is a 100-110 man operation and not just the 30 to 40 guys that you see play on Saturdays.
I think guys that typically aren't in most of the snaps, they are licking their chops during these weeks because they understand that they're going to be put in more positions to be successful and to get noticed. The tape is always getting evaluated, and it doesn't matter what the score is or when you're playing, your rep is graded every time, no matter the situation, no matter the score, and no matter how much time is left, other than maybe a kneel down. I don't think I've seen anybody ever get a minus on a kneel down, knock on wood, but guys that typically aren't in, maybe in the first half, they might get those opportunities because, you know, if it gets out of hand early, maybe even the first quarter, the coaches understand that if there's a guy that they've been evaluating that they want to get more reps to add depth to the roster, that individual or individuals need to prove that they can still do it in a situation when it still matters in the terms of the outcome of the game for a win-loss. So, you know, even if you're way down further on the roster and you're thinking, okay, I might not get any snaps this season, these are the type of games where you have that potential to maybe get 10 to 15 snaps. And if you do, you got to make them count, because if you don't, you're getting a bunch of minuses. And the way that that gets looked at the end of the season for spring ball is if you played 10 plays, you got kind of lackadaisical and you didn't really care that much. Okay, well, you might have five or six minuses, and well, now – you don't put yourself in a good position to start in spring ball. So I think a lot of guys can take the right step forward towards the spring and maybe into next fall or even this year if the coaches are thinking they can help contribute. And it all it does is add to the depth. And it goes back to me talking about why these are culture games is because it matters in the long run in terms of how a program can develop. So it can either help you get better or you can get worse by just simply losing focus.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. You know, you're always even if you look up and the score is 51 rip, somebody's always trying to accomplish something and get better. You could have it, and that's the other thing too about, you know, needing to potentially get, you know, in a spot where you're deep. If something happens, and this happened, I think, the year that North Dakota State won the championship, where receivers started dropping left and right. Maybe it's not receivers. Maybe it's linebackers. Maybe it's defensive ends. And it kind of is defensive ends right now. But these guys that are number two and number three, a couple guys get hurt, all of a sudden they're number one and number two. And so these reps are I think, definitely meaningful. But I want to ask you point blank. Does Missouri State pose a threat, you think, a credible threat this weekend?
Short answer, no. I mean, anything can happen on any given Saturday, and I briefly mentioned it in my game preview, but, you know, when I look back on some of those years that we got tripped up when I played, and then even years after I didn't play, there was a constant X factor on each of those squads that you realized could make a difference or could cause a real trouble for the defense. I don't see that on this Missouri State team. You know, it certainly is a trap game. I think Missouri State potentially could play it closer than what people think. I don't think it's a one or two possession game, even to that extent, by any means. So I don't think there's really much worry. I think the only thing is Massey Ratings giving it 100% 100% win at NDSU. So I'd say it's probably a 99.5% chance.
All right, and the last thing that I want, and you know, none of your, I don't know how many of your former coaches are even with the program or could find you and you get after you for this, but I want your best dinner discussion story, because it's something that's coming. Well, and by the time you guys are listening to this, it's already been out. Trevor's game preview on Friday, but the best story about arguing where you're going to eat after the game in a blowout.
Okay, so. I mean, I don't have really like any specific, but a lot of the times our discussions consisted of arguing about, okay, are we going to Doolittle's? Are we going straight to where we can get a few sodas for those that are over the age of 21? You know, those were kind of the discussions that we had. When our position group was up, we were paying attention. But yeah, those are certainly some fun memories, because we would look across the sideline and look at the opponent sitting there on the bench, kind of demoralized early in the third quarter. That was always fun for us to see. And then I couldn't tell you how many times we would play either rock, paper, scissors, or we would argue about who got to pick last time, or if we went to the same restaurant the previous week. Kind of the things that you don't really see until you get outside the program. But yeah, as far as coaches, former coaches, I think they know that about our group by now. Our group, you know, we like to have a good time and we like to win while we were doing it. So as far as them knowing that we were talking about where we were going to dinner during the second half, I don't think that would be too much of a surprise.
So, you guys are past the get in trouble point on that deal, I think, for sure. Now we've got another treat for you guys, though. I had a chance to chat, and I've been actually trying to track this kid down for a couple of weeks because he's really been impressing me on film. And he's from Trev's group. He's from ICE. Christian Watson, the 6'3", 200-pound monster out of Florida. I was really impressed with him. There was a quote that kind of came out from this interview. If you guys have had a chance, this interview's already been on BRTV, but I thought this was really good, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
Here with the Bison sophomore receiver, Christian Watson. Christian, how are we doing today?
Doing great.
How big of a difference is it from last year? I just feel like your game, Phoenix's game, even Jimmy's game, from a season ago, massive step forward. Is that experience? Was it just necessary because Shep is gone and Dallas is gone and Desmond is gone? How much credit goes to Coach Polly? What's going on?
You know, I feel like it's just a culmination of all you know, everything you just said there. You know, obviously we came into this year knowing, you know, we were a young group. You know, we're not as experienced as the guys in the past. But, you know, I definitely think Coach Polly did, like, kind of instill in us that, you know, we got to prove ourselves. We don't have the, you know, Shep in our room who has been doing it for 2-3 years now. We don't have anybody in the room who has, you know, been through the heat of, like, a full season, you know, getting out there running 40, 50 snaps a game. So, I mean, we kind of all just had a chip on our shoulder. We all got to prove ourselves. We all got to, you know, make a name for ourselves as a young wide receiver group. And, yeah, no, I just think, you know, just having that mindset in the offseason, you know, we got to prove ourselves. You know, that's just helped us develop a lot. And Coach Polly has definitely, you know, kept that in the back of our heads at all times. You know, which, you know, we got to get stuff done. We got to take that next step to not just be, you know, a guy on the sideline, you know, watching, you know, just hoping that, you know, Darius Shepherd out there is going to, you know, win it for us. You know, we got to do that. We got to do it ourselves.
What are the little differences between Coach Ray and Coach Polly?
I would say that they're, you know, a lot similar. I just think they have their own, you know, their own different coaching philosophies. I definitely like Coach Polly. I think he's young and energetic. He kind of, you know, connects with us on, like, more of like a personal level. He's like a I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, he's a coach, so it's nothing. Nothing like crazy or anything, but I feel like, you know, Coach Polly is like my friend almost, like on the field as well as my coach. You know, I definitely like respect and, like, you know, listen to everything. I take all his coaching tips and all that, but I definitely feel like I can, you know, vibe with him a little more on like a personal level.
How about the little differences between Easton and Trey? Because I've noted in watching him play that not only is Trey further along than Easton was when he was a freshman. Mm-hmm. I feel like the only season that Easton ever had that was maybe on this level was the senior year. Mm-hmm. Trey is on that level, as far as I can see.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think Trey is just a, you know, a different breed. Obviously, you know, Easton was an excellent quarterback. I just think Trey, you know, Trey's his own different dude, and you know, I really think he has, you know, the talent, the skill set that just on a whole another level here at NDSU. And I just think he also has the mindset that Easton has. Of, you know, staying in the playbook, staying locked into all of the little details. He has a leader. He has the, you know, leadership qualities that Easton had. You know, I just think Charlie takes it really seriously around here. I think he has the, you know, natural ability, natural talent, but he also has, you know, the mindset that, you know, he's got to get it done.
Your brother's been vocal on Twitter saying that maybe you need a couple of more balls. what is it like, though, to have a brother that's not only that supportive, but who's literally been through it? I mean, a kid that just got done playing college football. How much you talked to Trey? Mm-hmm. How close was he to being a Bison? And and just what's that relationship like for you?
You know, I talk to Trey almost like every day. We're really close, me and him, whether, you know, we're just playing video games or, you know, just talking about different college games or different NFL games. You know, we're always talking football. We're always talking in general. But, he definitely loved it here. He's been supportive of me since I chose NDSU. You know, he's heard about the culture, obviously, you know, playing college football already. He'd been in college for 2-3 years already, so, you know, he'd heard about the Bison. And, you know, he's been supporting me all the way since, you know, 2017, 2016, back when I committed here. He knew it was a great place. He knew it, you know, fit me perfectly. And, you know, I just agreed with him all the way. But, you know, me and my brother are definitely really close. You know, we're always talking football. And
Trey mentioned, and I think it's kind of accurate, that you guys are not even, it doesn't even feel like you're scratching the surface. Mm-hmm. It's never going to be a South Dakota State offense, an Oregon offense. I mean, you guys, you're not going to throw it 60 yep. times. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. But what are the improvements that you guys can make? What is the level that you feel like you guys can go to as an offense?
You know, I just, you know, Coach Roll preaches it all the time. We have to have a physical run game and an efficient passing game. Whether we throw, you know, 2 passes in the game, whether we throw 20, you know, we got to make every single play that we, you know, get the opportunity to make. We got to be efficient with everything, with the throws, the catch, you know, getting yak. I mean, obviously, you know, if I only get two catches a game, I want to make sure I get as much yak as I can, because, you know, I got to make the most out of every opportunity. But, yeah, I know, just, you know, preaching those two things, just being efficient in the passing game and being physical with the run game. Obviously, you know, we're a run-first offense, you know, run to set up the pass. So, you know, we just got to do what we got to do. And if, you know, if running power 50 times in the game is going to, you know, get us the win, then we're gonna run power 50 times.
I think some of the best receivers at the college level and in the pro level are selfish. You need to want the football. Mm-hmm. So how is that presented to you guys in recruiting? How is it taught, you know, kind of as a culture? I mean, where does the buy-in come from? Because, I think you'd be lying if you said, you know what, I don't want 8 for 160 and 2 scores. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they say the same things. You know, those who stay will be champions. You know, I enjoy winning games. I enjoy watching, you know, everyone, you know, me doing my little part to help other people, you know, play a bigger role in, for the whole team's success, you know. Obviously, you know, everyone wants to, you know, succeed on their own, but, you know, in the bigger picture, you know, I want to win games rather than go have 1,000 yards on a season and go 2-8 or 2-9. So, you know, I just think they preset to us from, you know, the moment we come here on our unofficial, official visits, you know, those who stay will be champions. And, you know, if you really want to buy into the program, if you really want to win, then, you know, you'll do what it takes to do so.
Do you enjoy pancaking guys 30 yards down the field?
You know, I think blocking is definitely something I have to work on. I definitely think I've been a little lazy in the blocking game, but you know, it always feels good when, you know, you're watching film and you just know that, you know, you made the block that, you know, sprouted a play. Yeah. I definitely think I could have had a few more blocks in that game that could have, you know, sprouted something on a couple of our outside runs. I let the corner get outside of me, but blocking downfield and, you know, having those key blocks that, you know, bounce a play and get those extra yards definitely feels good.
You guys are right now 40-point favorites this weekend. There have been some teams that had no business winning in Fargo that have won in Fargo mm-hmm. in the past. You're winning games now by a wide margin. What's the staff doing? What are the leaders of the team doing? How do you stay locked in against an opponent that's struggled? And you guys are playing phenomenal football right now.
You know, Coach Ince brought it up yesterday. Just, you know, every week is a new week. You know, we got to focus on you know, winning that one game every week, going 1-0 that week. He told us, you know, he preached yesterday about, you know, a couple of games that we've lost in the past, and just how that's affected us. We can't just, you know, he said it himself, we can't just roll our helmets out there and expect, you know, to win. We got to play every game like it's, you know, the championship. We got to play every game like it's, you know, for the ring. Because, I mean, every game matters. Obviously, you know, we're still in, like, the Valley play and all that. So, you know, every single game is our most important game, you know, when we get to it. So, I think that's just, you know, what they're preaching to us. You know, every single week matters.
What makes Phoenix so good, and why are you two such excellent complements for each other?
You know, Phoenix is just that dude. You know, he's got footwork. He's got the hands. I think he just has the ability to make plays. He's a playmaker. I just think I seen something on Twitter earlier. Maybe it was you. His footwork, his feet are just incredible. Fine. Yeah, his feet are incredible. I think, you know, he's really good at running those, you know, 5-yard out routes. I think him being in the slot also is, you know, his ability to be in the slot. Obviously, he's not a 6'4" guy. So he's able to be on the outside and the inside when need be. I just think, you know, me being like the longer receiver type and him being the more like versatile receiver type, I think, you know, that really just complements each other.
Yeah, if they ever wanted to use you and Zach outside and Christian or and Phoenix inside, it would be it would be something to see. But alas, you know, you can't do that when you run the football 45 times a game.
Yeah.
Finish this sentence, then I'll let you go. What their NDSU accomplishes their goals this season if.
You know, if we just, you know, take 1 week at a time, you know, like I said before, every week is the most important week. You know, if it's week six is the most important week of the season. If it's week eight is the most important week of the season. You know, I just think if we, you know, just worry about what's going on around us right now instead of, you know, what's down the road or what's behind us, I think we'll get it done.
Thanks, Chris.
Yep.
We want to thank the North Dakota State Sports Information Department for making Christian available to us, and certainly want to thank Christian for his time. Like I said, thought that he was a really well-spoken kid, thought that he, you know, pointed out some pretty fantastic things about the program and talking about as a receiver, you know, buying in, understanding that they might run power 50 times, and if that's the best thing for them to get the win, that's what they're going to do. Talk about blocking for his teammates and talking about making the most of his opportunities, specifically with yards after the catch. And you know, he makes a great point. If I'm only going to catch two balls, you know, I better take one to the house. So really impressed with Christian, definitely. And certainly I think it comes across in that interview. Trev, give me a score prediction.
We're going to go 47-10 this week. I do want to point out I had a very aggressive score prediction last week of 41-7. Wasn't too far off with it being 46-14, seven of those points. Coming off a miscue and a fumble of NDSU, you take that away. I'm like 5 points within the whole thing, so I feel pretty good about this one as well. I think the Bison get up early and fast, whether that's the first or second quarter. I don't really know. Probably depends on if they get the ball first or not, if there's a turnover. But I think the Bison are up by about 3 possessions at least at halftime. Starters are pulled midway through the third quarter. Missouri State maybe gets a late field goal or touchdown to make it 10. 47-10 Bison, potential bad beat appearance. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going even wider than that. I was narrower than you were last week, but I just can't this week. I think this could be biblical proportions. 52-7 is where I'm at on this one. I think it's going to be Butler-esque from a final score standpoint. I don't see it with Missouri State. They got absolutely shellacked by NDSU last year in Springfield and coming to the Dome on Code Green Day. I don't think it's going to be very helpful. Folks, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for making it this long in the show. I want to take a second, too, to thank everybody that signed up over the last 30 days. We were able to make a donation to the MAC Fund in honor of Landon Solberg and in honor of Landon's Light. Both Nate Zastro and myself pledged $5 for every new Bison Report subscriber, and we were able to both pitch in to MAC Fund, which MACC stands for Midwest Athletes Against Childhood Cancer. And I was really, really happy to do it. Really pleased with the response from the fans. And there were even some, that I, you know, found out through Facebook and I asked them to do this, but that didn't necessarily want to become subscribers and just donated directly to the MAC Fund. And hey, I really appreciate that as well. But yeah, in talking about subscriptions, that is and remains the number one way to support Trevor and I in this venture. We've got a couple of good specials going right now. Try us out for $1. That'll get you 30 days of VIP access to the Bison Report. You can cancel at any time. And if you do decide after those 30 days that that dollar was well spent, well, bang, you can upgrade to an annual pass for 30% off. We're still running that as well. And occasionally I do get the authorization from the guys at CBS and the guys at 24/7 to authorize even bigger discounts than that. So keep your eyes peeled. I'm not saying anything's coming down the pike, but you just never know. Thanks to Jabril. Thanks to Christian. Thank you, Trevor, again for your time. And one more time, thank you to the listeners. And go Bison.